Isaac walked up the mountain, his father by his side, never realizing he would be the sacrifice. And when Abraham raised up his hand to take his child's life, in his heart he must have wondered why. Sometimes God will take us to unexpected places, but in every situation we will find God will provide beyond what we've imagined, so much more than we could fathom. He will supply, God will provide when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child. God will provide. On another hill called Calvary, a father's only son was offered as a priceless gift of faithfulness and love. Amidst the cries of all mankind, God reached down from above and He covered us with Christ's atoning blood. No matter what your need is, God will always lead us. I know His grace will always be enough. God will provide beyond what we've imagined, so much more than we could fathom. He will supply, God will provide when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child. God has provided beyond what I've imagined, so much more than I could fathom. He has supplied, God will provide when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child. God will provide. I know my God will provide.
All right, thank you very much. If you have your Bible, please turn to Luke chapter 19. Please, Luke chapter 19, as Brother Myers mentioned, this is my first time preaching in the English service. So I am a nervous wreck right now. This is, you know, I've preached in over 150 some odd churches, and I've never been as nervous as tonight. Amen. So if you would please stand with me, Luke chapter 19. It's good to see familiar faces as well as new faces. And I'm so grateful for Pacific Baptist Church. Amen. So grateful for the ministry here and what this church means to me. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being in the Lord's house. Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at verse number 1, if you would please, Luke chapter 19. I still hear pages shuffling, just pretend like you found it and it's all good, okay? Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, let's go ahead and look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." Or to be politically correct, he was vertically challenged. Amen. "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Verse number 6. "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the privilege, Lord, to be gathered tonight in your house. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you for the testimonies that are represented here, Lord. Lord, I'm so grateful for the privilege to be here tonight at my home church, my stomping grounds, so to speak. Lord, I've grown up here. I've for most of my teenage and adult life, and Lord, it's just to see the fruit and the fruit that remains. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the leadership that you've put in place here. Lord, there's been trials, there's been different situations, but Lord, you have shown yourself strong time and time again. And Lord, I just pray that you meet with us tonight. May I be a blessing, Lord, to your people. Lord, I'm just a vessel. I'm emptying myself that you can fill me. And Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight in any manner, shape, or form that can give you all the glory and honor. We love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before we get into the message, I just want to make a few introductory comments. We just got back from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, Canada. How many of you know where that's at? Okay, good. All right, I didn't know where that was at either until I went there, amen. But we were up in Saskatchewan, Canada, where it was below zero most of the time. And the first day we got there, I've never seen this phenomenon. There was frost all over the trees, and it was beautiful. What a great way to cap off traveling on deputation by experiencing the extreme cold. Because when we get to Cambodia, you know, my son would always remind me there's three seasons. There's hot, hotter, and hottest, amen? And so we get to go there and enjoy that for about 5 days. And so the Lord gave us a great meeting. We've also, you know, we've been spoiled as we travel these past 2 years with the opportunity to travel all over the North America, so to speak. We've made stops in Hawaii, Alaska, talking about suffering for the Lord, amen? So we got to enjoy Hawaii, and it happened to be on my wife's birthday, and so we killed two birds with one stone there. We were able to stop in Canada, of course, and all but seven states in the Union. And so what a blessing to be able to travel like that. And in the back of my mind, or even the foggiest idea that I was able to travel this extensively, but the Lord allowed me to do that. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and your support in prayer, your service here at home. By the way, the work continues, and it continues because of people like you folks just continuing to press on, and thank you so much for that testimony. Thank you so much for your sacrifice so we can go. This past missions conference, the church pledged to support the children's home that our family would, our missionaries, if you would, we're going to start there in the country of Cambodia. So thank you so much for that. Thank you for your support. We're so grateful to be able to travel these past 26 months. We've traveled roughly about 28,000 miles, both air and driving miles, and approximately 180,000 miles of those were in a minivan, amen? And if you can imagine with me a minivan with all our belongings, and of course we had a cargo carrier there, and sometimes when my wife misbehaves, we put her up there. But we're so grateful for what the Lord has allowed us to do. We've now concluded our travels, and we're preparing to move to Cambodia, amen? That's the next step, and we're so excited. As Brother Myers mentioned, January 6th, it's approaching quickly. So be in prayer for that. We've got a lot of things to pack up and whatnot. And so, and just the privilege to be at home for the holidays. We're so thankful for that, to be here in Long Beach, California. So we visited about roughly 225 churches. And at one point, we were in church services for 25 days out of the month. During that stretch, we were a part of four missions conferences. Back to back to back to back, amen? And so you can imagine that. And three of those conferences were Spanish-speaking conferences. So I remember specifically one of those conferences, they have two speakers every night. And Needless to say, it was lengthy. Amen. The Spirit led. And so just imagine with me them, you know, we don't know Spanish. Oh, I take that back. I know carne asada and burrito and all that. But aside from that, you know, here we are just sitting through two services each night while the preacher was preaching in Spanish. You know, it got to the point that after these conferences, my son Tyler said, "Dad, we're not missionaries." I said, "Huh, are you sure, son? We are." He said, "No, we're missioneros, amen." And so, you know, there's never a dull moment with Tyler, amen. You know, children say the funniest things. You know, when they speak their mind. Here's some words of wisdom from the young. A little girl became restless as the preacher's sermon dragged on and on. Finally, she leaned over to her mother and whispered, "Mommy, if we give him the money now, will he let us go?" Another boy was watching his father, a pastor, write a sermon. "How do you know what to say?" he asked. "Why, God tells me, son." Then the son responded, "Oh, then why do you keep crossing things out?" Another child, he came home from Sunday school and told his mother that he had learned a new song about a cross-eyed bear named Gladly. It took his mother a while before she realized that the hymn he was referring to was Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear. Here's a neat one. Finding one of her students making faces at others on the playground, Miss Smith stopped to gently reprove the child. Smiling sweetly, the Sunday school teacher said, "Bobby, when I was a child, I was told that if I made ugly faces, it would freeze, and I would stay like that." Bobby looked up into her face and replied, "Well, Miss Smith, you can't say you weren't warned." Children say the funniest things, don't they? You know, I'm so glad that I'm in a church that emphasizes missions. Amen. You know, Oswald J. Smith said, "Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist." You know, the reason why we're a New Testament church is because we emphasize missions. Amen. You know, God had an only son, and he made him a missionary. Mr. Smith also said the mission of the church is missions. He also said, "We talk of the second coming, but half of the world has never heard of the first." You know, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Did you catch that? You see, the gospel is good news to us. Why? Because we've heard about it. We've received Christ as Savior. And it's not great. It's not good news. It's great news. It's wonderful news. But it's only good because it got to us on time. Think about all the millions and billions of people who have not heard. It's not good news to them. That's why they need to be told. Amen. And that's why we do what we do. And it's done on purpose. The things that are done on purpose. As we just read the passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 10, the Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." It was done purposefully. And, you know, we're very familiar with that passage of Scripture about Zacchaeus and whatnot. But it's interesting to see in verse 10 that it caps the story with, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." Aren't you thankful that Jesus' mission was to seek and save that which was lost? We're saved because he drew us to him. It's on purpose. And I'm so glad that we're part of a church that emphasizes that. Our outlook and situations determine our involvement. Just like when a loaded minivan pulled into the only remaining campsite, four children leaped from the vehicle and began feverishly unloading gear and setting up the tent. The boys rushed to gather firewood, while the girls and their mother set up the camp stove and cooking utensils. A nearby camper marveled to the youngster's father and said, "That, sir, is some display of teamwork." The dad replied, "I have a system. No one can go to the bathroom until the campsite is set up." And so we see here our outlook on situations determine our involvement. The way we see things affects our actions. A patient knocked over a cup of water, which spilled on the floor beside the patient's bed. The patient was afraid he might slip on the water if he got out of the bed, so he asked the nurse's aide to mop it up. The patient didn't know it, but the hospital's policy said that small spills were the responsibility of the nurse's aides, while large spills were to be mopped up by the hospital's housekeeping group. The nurse's aide decided the spill was large, and she called the housekeeping department. A housekeeper arrived and declared the spill a small one. An argument ensued. "It's not my responsibility," said the nurse's aide, "because it's a large puddle." The housekeeper did not agree. "Well, it's not mine," she said. "The puddle's too small." The exasperated patient listened for a time, then took a pitcher of water from his night table and poured the whole thing on the floor. "Is that a big enough puddle now for you two to decide?" he asked. It was, and it was the end of the argument. And so the way we see things affects our actions. Tonight, I want to talk about the subject of what missions means to me. And I'll tell you what, it means a lot, because if it weren't for the mission of this church, I wouldn't be standing before you tonight. And I dare say that each and every one of you, you wouldn't be here tonight if it weren't for the cause of missions. So missions mean a lot. What is missions? The dictionary says missions is an important assignment. What is a mission? A mission is an important assignment carried out on purpose. Tonight I'd like to give several observations of what missions mean to me. What does missions mean to me? Number one, it means purposeful planning. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, we read it. Jesus passed through and entered into Jericho. He did it on purpose. Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did, he did it on purpose. He entered into Jericho to seek and to save. And guess what was the byproduct of that? Zacchaeus got saved, amen? His life was changed. You see, there was fruit after his conversion, because he said, anybody that I've stolen from, if you would, I'll return fourfold. And so you see that there's proof in the pudding. And so missions to me means that there's purposeful planning. Part of planning is to know what to plan and to who the plan is for. Jesus is on a mission to seek and save that which was lost. Now, you see, in missions, there is a problem. As far as there has to be a problem, that's why the solution came in the form of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, you don't have to turn there, we see that there's a problem here, and Jesus is exhorting his disciples and telling them that there's a problem. Chapter 9, verse 36 of Matthew, the Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." There's a lot of people, but there's not enough workers. Over 7 billion people living in the world today. A large concentration of people live in a section of the world called the 1040 window. Within that geographical location, there's at least 5 billion people living there. And if you can imagine with me, 45 to 50% of those people have not even heard the name Jesus Christ. And here we are, good night. Here in the United States, sometimes we use God's name in vain since we've heard it so much. You see, there's a need. There's a problem. There's a lot of people to be reached, and the laborers are few. And we see, who are the people of missions? If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 5, please. Revelation chapter 5. We're going to look at verse number 7 of Revelation chapter 5. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 7, "And they," people here, "and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You see, there's going to come a point in the book of Revelation prophesied it, that they, talking about the people who are Christians, will sing a new song. Those that are born again will sing a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and redeemed us by God and by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You see, everybody deserves a chance to hear the gospel. Amen? Revelation chapter 7, just right next few pages there. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Let's look at Revelation 7, 9. The Bible says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. You see, there's going to be a day where we get to stand before Almighty God and praise Him for what He's done for us. Amen? So it's done on purpose, purposeful planning. Missions to me means we need to take it serious and carry this plan out purposefully so that all nations, all peoples, and tongues can stand before the throne one day. Amen? Amen. Secondly, what does missions mean to me? It means passionate preaching. You see, I'm a product of red-hot preaching. The reason why my life is transformed is because of the preaching, the uncompromising preaching of the Word of God. Amen. You see, God loves us, and He's left for us His book. Someone once said, B-I-B-L-E, of course you've heard it, basic instructions before leaving earth. And God loved us enough to give us these instructions. So let's live by it, amen? Amen. And as the preacher preaches from this Word, let's take heed. Let's take the instructions. Acts 26 talks about the Apostle Paul giving an account of his testimony to King Agrippa. Here he was, he's standing trial. In Acts 26, the Apostle Paul was standing trial before the council, before the judges, and Agrippa said, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. In verse number 2 of Acts 26, the Bible says, you know how Paul responded? He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. So he had an opportunity. He didn't know that after the trial, whether he was going to get beheaded or hanged. He didn't know what the result's going to be. But you know what? He took the opportunity to preach the Word of God. He took the opportunity to share the gospel. And, of course, we know the story of Acts 26, how Agrippa was moved. Paul said, King Agrippa, thou believest the prophets, right? And you know what he said? He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me. Almost. Paul did what God wanted him to do, and he was passionate about it. When you're passionate about something, you can't help but speak it. Amen? If you have your Bibles, Acts 14, let's look at that, please. Acts 14. Acts 14, we're going to do quite a bit of turning into Scripture tonight, but it's okay. We're going to catch up on our Bible reading. Acts chapter 14. Acts 14 is a chapter that emphasizes the preaching of the Word of God. Let's look at verse number 1 of Acts 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Let's look at verse 3. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Verse number 7. And there they preached the gospel. Verse number 9. The same heard Paul speak. Verse number 15. The Bible says, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you. Verse number 21, 22, and 25 all has the same context. The emphasis of preaching, not just regular preaching, but passionate preaching. Amen. Aren't you thankful that we grew up in a church, or we have come to this type of this church and sat under great passionate preaching? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You see, teaching will burden you, but preaching will bother you. Teaching captures you, but preaching corrects the heart. Teaching leaves you concerned, but preaching leaves you convicted. Teaching leaves you comforted, but preaching leaves you corrected. Teaching will dazzle your mind, but preaching will deliver your soul. Teaching will flatter you, but preaching will forbid you. Teaching furnishes the facts, but preaching forces a decision. Teaching helps you, but preaching humbles you. Teaching instructs you, but preaching inspires you. Teaching is lofty, but preaching is loud. Teaching is loved, but preaching is laughed at. Teaching is peaceful, but preaching is powerful. Teaching is popular, but preaching is profitable. Teaching is praised, but preaching is protested. Teaching is promoted, but preaching is proven. Teaching puffs up, but preaching puts it down. Teaching points out the need, but preaching points out the answer. Teaching will reward you, but preaching will rebuke you. Teaching reaches around the problem, but preaching roots out the problem. Teaching is received, but preaching is refused. Teaching will refresh you, but preaching will reveal you. Teaching can cause you to sleep, but preaching can cause you to shout. Teaching shows it off, but preaching shuts it down. Teaching satisfies a need, but preaching strikes a nerve. Teaching tickles the ear, but preaching troubles the soul. Teaching leaves you thirsty, but preaching leaves you transformed. I am so thankful for the preaching of the Word of God here at Pacific Baptist Church. Missions to me means preaching passionately. And I'm so thankful for this ministry. Number three, what does missions mean to me? Persistent perseverance. Persistent perseverance. In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas was persecuted in Iconium. Let's revisit Acts 14, verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Verse number 3. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony to the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. You see, Paul and Barnabas didn't give up. They got persecuted. They got stoned. Stones thrown. As a matter of fact, around this time frame, Paul was stoned and he was left for dead. They left him alone because they thought he was dead. But you know what? He persistently persevered. Amen. He kept going. Church family, thank you for continuing to keep going. You know, all throughout this country, as I travel, there's churches that know about our church. We have a great testimony. Why? Because we have a great pastor and we have a great church family here. All glory goes to the Lord. I understand that. But you know what? It also is dependent on our testimony. And I tell you what, we've held a great testimony. Amen. Thank you so much for being faithful. Thank you so much for being persistent. Missions to me means persistent perseverance. And we see here the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they persistently persevered. Verse number 3, the Bible says, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. You see, many people never stay at something long enough to make something happen or to get a blessing. They never stay long enough to get they never stay long enough in their marriages. They never stay long enough in their jobs. Boy, I remember when I was in Bible college, jobs were cycled because there's always the grass is always greener on the other side. Hey, just stick with it. Just stick with it. They never stay long enough in their attendance. They never stay long enough in serving. They never stay long enough in their church membership. They never stay long enough at soul winning. They never stay long enough at prayer. They stop and go, or worse, they start and never finish anything. But the Bible says of Paul and Barnabas, long time abode they. Amen? They kept at it. And aren't you thankful that the Apostle Paul kept at it? Because the gospel would not come to us if it weren't for his persistence. Long time abode they. Think of the impact that could be made if someone stayed at the work of church planting. Here's the proof. Aren't you thankful that Pastor's family and Brother Meyer's family stuck with the stuff and now we're here? Amen. Think of the impact that could be made if Christians stayed long enough at soul winning. Think of the impact that could be made if Christians stayed long enough at praying. Listen, if you're going to succeed as a Christian, you need to be persistent. You need to stay at something long enough for God to bless it. Amen? Stay by the stuff. Someone once said, gave us the CPR approach. C meaning consistent in our actions, P meaning persistent in our drive, and R meaning resistant to setbacks. You know, it's going to come. Disappointments are going to come. But let's be consistent and persistent. Amen? Henry Martin, a missionary to India, he's a Cambridge University student. He was honored at only 20 years of age for his achievements in mathematics. In fact, he was given the highest recognition possible in that field. And yet, he felt emptiness inside. He said that instead of finding fulfillment in his achievements, he had only a grasp of a shadow. After evaluating his life goals, Martin sailed to India as a missionary at the age of 24. When he arrived, he prayed, "Lord, let me burn out for you." In the next 7 years that preceded his death, he translated the New Testament into three difficult Eastern languages. He burned out for the Lord, amen? He was persistent. Missions, to me, means persistently persevering. Number four, missions to me means pointed praise. If you have your Bible, Psalms 96, please. Psalm 96. The Bible says in Psalm 96, let's look at verse number 1 of Psalm 96. Psalm 96, the Bible says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." You see, the reason why we do what we do in this area of missions is so people too can praise him. You see, there's a purpose behind it. The purpose is to get people to know Christ so they can worship the creator of the universe. May I say this? He deserves it. He deserves it. The Bible says he's a great God. He's greatly to be praised. We're to sing a new song. We're to show forth his salvation from day to day. It's done on purpose. Missions to me means pointed praise. Of course, we read in you don't have to turn there in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, that there's going to come a day where all nations, all people, all kindreds and tongues will stand before the throne and shout, saying, "Salvation to our God, we sit upon the throne and unto the Lamb." That day is going to come. Quickly, if you would, Psalm 107. 107. The Bible says here in Psalm 107, I'm sure you're familiar with this. You know, as a parent, there's certain times where when there's important instructions, you tend to repeat it. When you want to instruct your children, if it's an important message you want to get across, you repeat it. And so we understand that our God is our Father, our Heavenly Father. Amen? And he loves us, and he cares for us, so there's instructions that he gives us in his word. But it's interesting to note in this chapter that there's a specific instruction that's repeated four times. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 8, the Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." That same instruction is repeated down in verse 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Again, in verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Now, we think, yeah, God, we got the point. He repeated again in verse number 31, verbatim, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." What can we derive from that? Number one, God's good, amen? Yes, he's good, and he's done a wonderful work in our lives. But the problem is this. The underlying truth behind that instruction is this. Not everybody can praise him. Yeah. How so? Well, if you don't know him, how can you praise him? Right. That's why God told us in Psalm 96 for us to declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. You see, it's our job so that we can guide them to the truth, they can know Christ, and they can have that pointed praise to him. Amen? God has been so good to the Vong family. You know, throughout this journey of deputation, he's kept us safe and protected, blessed us with many wonderful opportunities to serve and be a blessing to others. As I spent the past 5 days, a couple days back, in Saskatchewan, I was able to, the Lord used us, our family, to be a blessing to that pastor up there. And you know, I'm so grateful for that privilege. He's expanded our borders of ministry. And so that wouldn't have happened if we, you know, it's kind of sacrilegious to say this, but God is really depending on us to yield so that he can use us. You see, God has given us a free will. He wants us to be willing to be used of him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, that we are instruments of righteousness, but we have to yield to be those instruments of righteousness. You see, you can be an instrument of righteousness or an instrument of unrighteousness. Did you know that Satan can use Christians too? How about it? Why don't you just yield to be a vessel unto honor fit for the master's use? Just decide. There's many people who do not know Christ, and they're lost without him. So we need to do our part to share the gospel with them. Amen? Of course, time won't permit for me to tell all the blessings we've encountered while traveling, but I want to share this testimony. You know, to be able to travel like we've traveled, in the back of my mind, I think, man, we're missing out. You know, the devil plant those seeds in your mind. We're missing out. Here we are, you know, crunched up in a minivan, traveling 12 hours at a time or 15 hours, depending on my mood or depending on if I want to do it or not. And I'll tell you what, all those hours in the car can make one mad, amen? I mean, mad as an insane. Well, you can get the other mad too. But, you know, I tell you what, the Lord has given us grace. And, you know, Satan has planted some seeds, Brother Myers. I'll be honest with you. I'll be transparent. This is home. I struggle with it for a bit. You know, I remember the beginning of this year in January, we were stuck in Wyoming. Wind gust of about 70 miles per hour. We were staying in a retreat center that was far away from civilization. And, you know, I'm a city guy, so, you know, if I don't hear ambulances and drive-by shootings, I'm out of my element, you know? And so I was, you know, here was our family. It was just me and my wife and the children. Windy outside, couldn't go out. And here I was just trying to do my part, just, you know, making phone calls, trying to arrange to get more meetings. The reason why we went up to Wyoming was because of one meeting. And so that's what the Lord gave us. We took it. We went up there. And so here I was just trying to get more meetings in Wyoming. So I made about 25 or 30 phone calls that day. No one picked up the phone. I mean, I got answering machines left and right. I just couldn't talk to anybody. And so after that last phone call, I decided, well, I guess today's just going to be that one of those days. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call. I looked at my cell phone. I see the caller ID. It was from Florida. Now, we know about Florida. Growing up in church here, you know, pastor talks about Florida. Brother Myers talked about Purgatory, Florida. And so I was like, I never purposely called Florida for that reason. And so I looked at my caller ID. I was like, Florida, got to be telemarketers. I didn't make any phone calls there. And so I figured, you know, being a Christian, and this guy is probably doing the same thing I'm doing. He's calling and no one's picking up. I'm going to do him a favor. I want to talk to somebody anyway, amen? So I answered the phone. And on the other side of the line was a missions director calling me because he found out about our ministry on Google. Praise the Lord for Google, amen? So he Googled up missionaries to Cambodia. And search engine optimization, you know, I never added that to my website. I didn't really care for it. And so I can't imagine why my name would pop out first. And so that was kind of odd. Well, it's not coincidental. It's the Holy Spirit, amen? It's the Lord. And so he told me he found out about our ministry because he Googled missionaries to Cambodia. He got our contact information, got our church information, called Brother Myers to verify before calling us. And so he said, Brother, we have a missions conference in April. We're in need of missionaries going to that part of the world. Can you come? We would like to have you come and present your ministry at the missions conference. So I said, well, let me check my schedule. No, Yes, yes, we'd love to go, even though we're going to be in California in the first part of April, amen. So we drove, we got that meeting. I'll tell you what, that meeting was served as one of the best missions conferences that we've ever been to.
Amen. That's awesome.
Shortly after that, after I hung up the phone that same day, another call came, and it was from Canada. I'm like, wow, all these places that I'd never called, they're calling me. And come to find out, it was a pastor. He pastors the biggest church in Canada, Manitoba, Canada, Winkler, Manitoba, Canada, in the middle of nowhere, in a Mennonite community, a town of 1,000 people, and he runs a church of 900. And so he calls me and he says, Brother Vong, I went to school with Pastor Esposito. I heard about you. I wanted to see if you can come up in March to Canada to be in our missions conference. The thing was, our schedule was late February. We were in Bourbonnais, Illinois, Pastor Angel's Church, Faith Baptist. And because of our children not having their passports yet, because up until age 2 or something, you need passports to cross the border. Because we didn't have the paperwork, I said, Pastor, it's going to be difficult for us to go there, so I'm going to have to drive from Illinois back to California, drop my kids off, then fly back to North Dakota, then drive up to Winkler, Canada. And he said, no problem. We'll take care of it. I was like, praise the Lord. And so we scheduled that. And again, one of the top 3 missions conferences that we've been in. I think they spoiled our family rotten. By the way, after traveling all these 26 months, I've added some real estate, amen. And they've spoiled us tremendously. We've never spent so much on clothing in our entire lives. That church spoiled us. Praise God. You see, there's so many stories, but let me finish with this story. So when we got to that church, what happened was, we drove back to California. We caught a plane in San Diego to fly to North Dakota. When we got into North Dakota, it was Tuesday that we got in, and I rented a car to drive to our hotel. We did that on purpose so we can visit a church Wednesday night there in North Dakota. And so as I drove from the airport to check in at the hotel, we passed by a church called an independent. We saw Baptist church, and we thought it looked like an independent Baptist church. So I stopped in, and to give our information about our ministry to the pastor. And so as I opened up the door, went in, the secretary was there, and the pastor wasn't there. He was in a meeting. And so I just said, well, it's going to save me $1.59 anyway, so can I leave this packet with you? And so she took it. And she said she was going to give it to the pastor, and I thought that was the end of it. So I drove back to check into the hotel. And after we checked in, it was about lunchtime, and I received a phone call. It was the pastor of the church. He called, and he said, Brother Vong, thank you for calling. Thank you for stopping by. I'm sorry I was in a meeting. I will look through your packet. Now, you know, I looked at the time. We were about ready to go lunch anyway, so I figured, Pastor, my wife and I, we're going to go to lunch. Can we take you out? So that we can tell you a little bit more about our ministry. And so the pastor said, sure, I don't have anything planned. And so we met at a restaurant, told him about our ministry and our church, gave our testimony. So he asked us to come Wednesday night to come present our ministry. So I said, praise the Lord. And we went Wednesday night, normal meeting. Everything was great. The church received it well. And we didn't think anything of it after that. You know, what are the chances of you just dropping in that same day without, you know, no connections, and the church is going to take on for support? Slim to none, right? And so I didn't think anything of it. We drove up to Canada, stayed there for the missions conference. And then on one of the nights there up in Canada, I get an email from one of our supporting churches saying that they will discontinue our support. So I was kind of disappointed. You know, man, we worked so hard to get a church to support us. They're dropping our support. So I was kind of bummed out. Immediately after that, I get another email that came in from the pastor that we just visited on Wednesday. And so the email said, Brother Vong, our church family just voted, and we're taking you on for support for $200 a month.
Amen.
And I'm like, For real? So I pinch myself, you know, make sure I'm awake, you know. Didn't think anything of it. All that came about because of we just continue doing what God wants us to do. All praise go to Him. All glory goes to Him. And folks, continue pressing. Just, you know, I believe in the law of division of labor. God will do His part if you do your part. And so let's keep an eye on, amen? Yes. You know, one of the privileges of traveling in, to different churches and seeing the Lord answer our prayers. I remember one time, Titus was, before we go to a meeting, we always pray, Lord, bless the meeting, help us to be a blessing, and help us to get supported, amen? And so, but it was Titus's turn to pray. Not this Titus, the other Titus. And so Titus was praying, and he glanced over at our gas gauge and saw that it was close to empty. And so, you know, we had money for gas. I mean, if not, my wife can go out and push. It's not a problem. And so he looked up, and he during his prayer said, Lord, help us to be a blessing. Help us to get supported. And give us gas money. Amen. And so we enter into the church's foyer, shake hands and everything like that. And, you know, sometimes, you know, a traveling family, missionary family, you get those handshakes with, you know, portraits of dead presidents. We like that. And so... But this time, the Lord used an older lady to shake our hand. It wasn't paper. The texture was different. It was plastic. And Titus was standing right next to me. And after I got done shaking her hand, I looked at my hand. Titus was looking with me, and it said, Exxon gas card. Come on. So the Lord used 6-year-old, 7-year-old at that time probably, prayed a simple prayer, and the Lord made it real to him. Right then and there, just a moment later. Amen. You can't explain that. It's the Lord. Yes. 180,000 miles traveling. Not one flat tire, not one accident, a couple turtles killed. That was about it. How can you explain that? It's the Lord. Yeah. Come on. Pointed praise. Missions to me means pointed praise. God has blessed us. You know, we give Him all the glory and all the honor. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We're created to please Him. We're created to please Him. I'm going to close with this song. Our children actually usually would come up and sing with me, but they're not dressed right, so we're going to go ahead and I'll just go ahead and sing this song. It's a God is good. Amen. I'm not going to sing that song, but I'm going to sing you a song that emphasizes. Now, the windows are okay. We got replacements. Okay, good. You know, when we travel, we put music, we let music play in the van and things like that. So the kids memorized this song from an evangelist named Mark Rogers. And it's called I'm Blessed. And folks, let me say this. We're blessed. Amen. We're blessed people. And so I want to see if I can do my part in being a blessing and sing the song, so bear with me, okay? Go something like this. Through the sunshine and rain, even sorrow and pain, Jesus is still my comfort and guide. And His love comforts me, and His grace has set me free. And someday I will stand by His side. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. I have shoes for my feet and have plenty to eat and a home in heaven by and by. Brothers and sisters on this earth, they are mine by my new birth. And we'll share in that home beyond the skies. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. May I say this? We are blessed. We're blessed people. And we're blessed to bless others. Amen. So church, thank you so much for being faithful. And this is what missions mean to me. God is good all the time. All the time God is good. And let's be faithful. Let's continue keeping on. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your blessings, Lord. As Brother Joseph mentioned, daily you loadeth us with benefits. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand and just utilize us in your work, Lord, as we carry out the gospel, carry out the work of the Great Commission. Lord, help us to respond. Help us to be faithful with the calling that you've called us to do. Lord, we can go, we can sow, but help us not to, don't have it. I pray that we won't say no to what you've called us to do. We love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.